We turn in the scriptures this afternoon to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah 43. This past Thursday, I had the privilege of speaking at Providence Reformed Collegiate for their monthly chapel service. I was invited to speak to a little over 100 young people there for their monthly chapel on the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. They're going through that chapter this year, and they gave me verse 2 to give a chapel message. I enjoyed it so much that I decided to make a sermon on the text for you today and bring that word of God to you. And so that's why we turn to this chapter today. We will get back to our series on the parables, I assure you, soon, the Lord willing. But today let's turn to Isaiah 43. We're going to read beginning at verse 14 through chapter 44, verse 8. Isaiah 43, verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. We read God's word that far today. I call your attention to verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the latter part of the book of Isaiah, chapters 40 through 66, contains some of the most beautiful and comforting passages in the Bible. Beautiful and comforting passages written by the prophet Isaiah, by divine inspiration, to the people of God who dwell in the midst of a very wicked and hostile world. Isaiah originally addressed these words, of course, to the children of Israel, particularly in the tribe of Judah. And in the days of Isaiah, as you know, the children of Judah were descending more and more rapidly into the worship of idols and all of the different forms of ungodliness that always accompany the worship of idols. So Isaiah spoke to them sometimes words of severe rebuke for their sins. But in this latter part of the book, chapters 40 to 66, Isaiah addresses the children of Israel as if they are already in captivity in Babylon, as if they are already being punished and chastised for their backsliding and their apostasy. And so he brings words of comfort to them. Chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Fear not, for I am with thee. Chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. As an illustration of this back and forth between words of rebuke and words of comfort that we find in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 43, we began to see in verse 22 a word of rebuke. He says, But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. And at the end of the chapter, he says, Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. He was saying to them, You are suffering in Babylon as the consequences for your sin. But then in chapter 44, he switches. And he takes a more gentle and mild form of speech in order to convey to God's people in Israel, to those chosen saints in the nation, the tender love that God has for them that can never change. He says, Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. We consider that together this afternoon. We take as our theme Israel formed by the Lord and not fearing. Notice, first of all, that Israel is formed from the womb. In the second place, assured of God's help. And thirdly, delivered from fear. As I said, here in chapter 44, the Lord inspires his prophet to change the tone of his voice from a more severe and harsh tone in the previous passage to a gentler and milder tone of voice to assure his elect of his love for them. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. The prophet is speaking to Jacob, he says, O Jacob, and to Jeshurun, O Jeshurun. We know that Jacob was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah, the wonder child. These people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were the heirs of the promises of God. And now Isaiah is speaking to Jacob, that is, he's speaking to the descendants of Jacob, the seed of Abraham in the nation of Israel in his days. And he refers to Israel as Jeshurun or Jeshurun. That was a kind of term of endearment. That was a term that Moses used for Israel back in the book of Deuteronomy. And Isaiah is thinking of that term and applying it again to the church of his time. Jeshurun. The name might mean beloved ones. It can also mean upright ones. There's difference of opinion among translators and commentators. But whatever the case may be, it's a term of tender address and endearment. My Jeshurun, my loved ones, my upright ones, in contrast to the wicked and ungodly whom the Lord hates. The prophet reminds them that the Lord is the one who formed them. He made you. He formed you from the womb. Don't forget, Israel, that Jehovah, the one true and living God who formed and created the whole of this universe, he also made and formed you. He made and formed you from the womb. He uses a figure of speech there. Just as we know that a baby is first formed in the womb of his or her mother. So Isaiah speaks to the whole nation of Israel and says, don't forget, the Lord made and formed you from the womb. That is, from the very beginning of your existence as a people. From the very commencement, the Lord was the one who brought you into existence, who gave you a life, who gave you being, who gave you existence and a place in the midst of the world. Jehovah was the one who formed you from the womb of the woman, that is, the church of old, the church that started with Adam and Eve and ran through Noah and his family, through the line of Shem, down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the womb that he refers to, the church of old. From the womb, the Lord made and formed you. He established his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your seed after you. He then came to you in the land of Egypt when you were toiling and slaving under the heavy hand of Pharaoh, and he plucked you out of Egypt. He brought you forth with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. He led you through the midst of the Red Sea on dry ground. He guided you as a shepherd down to Mount Sinai, and through Moses, he organized you as a nation. He formed you into a nation of people, a special people in the midst of all the peoples of the world. He formed you as a special people to show forth his praises in the midst of the world, the one and only nation in all the world who is able to say, I am the Lord's, and the Lord is my God. He is the one who formed you into a nation, into a people. Don't forget the love of God your Maker, the salvation that God has accomplished and worked for you. That's what Isaiah was saying to the children of Israel in his day. But this is what the preacher of the gospel says to the people of God in every day. That's why I was able to say these words to the Christian young men and young women at Providence Reformed Collegiate this past Thursday. And I'm able to bring the same message to you today as a preacher of the gospel, to remind you, believing children of God, that the Lord made you, the Lord formed you, the Lord fashioned you as a people for himself in the midst of the world to show forth the praise of his grace. He formed you in every respect, body, mind, and soul. Let's go through each one of those. He formed you in respect to your body. Just as God formed Adam in the beginning out of the dust of the ground, he formed his physical being. So also David confesses in Psalm 139, "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously or skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." That was David's confession about himself. That's your confession about yourself. I, in my physical being, am fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He formed this, my body, with everything that it contains, all of the physical features that make me who and what I am physically. He made me and formed me into a boy or a girl. He made and formed me into someone who is tall or short, someone with dark hair or light hair, brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes, red hair, blonde hair, brown hair. He formed all of our physical features. He formed us from the womb. He was the one who decided the exact DNA and genetic makeup that would constitute you and me as individual human beings, so that we would be shaped in our mother's womb into the exact person God wanted us to be. And being born into this world and growing, he continues to shape and fashion us through experience. There's nature and there's nurture. And through both nature and nurture, God is the one who forms us into what and who we are. And he also forms us in terms of our mind. From our mother's womb, from the moment we were conceived inside our mothers, God made and formed your mind and my mind into what it is. He gifted you with all of your mental talents and gifts and characteristics. From your mother's womb, God had determined and fashioned you to be an extroverted or an introverted person, to be a person who will be more left-brained or more right-brained, a person who will be intellectual or who will be artistic or who will be a practical-minded person or someone with good business sense. He gave you everything that you have in terms of your mental, intellectual gifts. He fashioned you and me according to his perfect plan. But most importantly, the Lord made and formed us from the womb spiritually. He made and formed us into a people for himself to show forth his praises in the midst of the world by regenerating our dead souls. And in the first place, he did that by forming, just as he formed Israel from the womb, so also he formed in the womb of Israel and in the womb of a particular woman in Israel, a young virgin from the line of David who lived in the city of Nazareth. He formed inside the womb of that young virgin the Christ, the Son of the living God. By uniting the Son of God to human nature, by the Son of God taking to himself human nature, the human nature given to him by God through the womb of the Virgin Mary. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was conceived. It's the wonder of the incarnation. God formed his servant, his chosen servant, the Messiah, in the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought him forth in Bethlehem as the true Messiah. God and man united in human nature in the one person of Jesus Christ. And he formed and fashioned the Christ in Mary's womb so that he and he alone is qualified and equipped to be our Savior. He brought him forth into this world so that he might carry our griefs and bear our sorrows, so that he might take upon himself all the iniquities of us, God's chosen people, and bear them to the cross, and bear them on the accursed tree, and suffer for them until they are all wiped away. God formed Christ so that he might rise from the dead on the third day with immortality and righteousness and life as the risen and glorified Lord, so that he might bestow upon his beloved Jeshurun the blessings of righteousness and life. He formed Christ as our Savior, and now through Christ he forms us unto salvation. He made and formed us, beloved, as his own special people. How did he do that? He did that by grafting us into Christ, by joining us to the living Christ with a true and living bond, so that we received from Christ his righteousness and life. We became new creatures in Christ at that moment when we were joined to him by the Holy Spirit. And now he has formed us. He has formed us into his children, into his people, into his church. A special people in the midst of all the peoples of the world. The one and only people who can say, I am the Lord's and the Lord is my God. And he continues to form and fashion us, having justified us by faith. He sanctifies us by his grace and spirit. He is forming us, fashioning us more and more day by day into the people he wants us to be. What amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's what this is all about. The free, amazing, marvelous grace of the Lord to take a people for himself, to make us and form us into his special people. And then he forms that special people for himself in specific places, in local congregations, so that we can also say, and I can also say to you, as a specific congregation, Wingham Protestant Reformed Church, the Lord made you and formed you as a congregation. From the womb, that is, from the very commencement of your existence as a congregation. You didn't always exist as a congregation. Some of you were born and raised in other congregations. Some of you in the Netherlands. Some of you here in Canada. Maybe in the United States. But at some point, the Lord, at the commencement, from the womb, the Lord formed you as a congregation. He took you from here and from there, from different churches, and molded you and fused you together into this congregation. And he has continued to form you and fashion you through the years, through the decades, taking some away, bringing others in, always forming and fashioning Wingham Protestant Reformed Church by his grace. That's the Lord's work. That's a cause for thanksgiving and joy. The prophet says to Israel that the Lord who made and formed you will help you. He will help you in all your trials and tribulations in this life. Isaiah is speaking to Israel, the church in his day that was sliding spiritually into corruption, idolatry, all kinds of abominations. And they're going to go off into Babylon, into captivity. And he speaks to them as if they're already in captivity. The Lord will help you, Jeshurun. He will help you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be with you to help you. You children of God who have been ripped out of your homes, out of your properties, who've been carried off into captivity, who have seen the smoke rising from Jerusalem behind you as the Babylonians have burned the city to the ground, burned the temple to the ground, taken over all your riches and treasures, and led you in chains off to Babylon. You look back and see everything lost. Everything changed. And now, here you suffer the reproach and the defilement and the disdain of your Babylonian captors. As you sit there by the rivers of Babylon under the willow trees, and they say, "Sing us a song of Zion," but all you can say is, "Lord," or "My neighbor, I cannot sing the songs of Zion. All I can do is weep." Isaiah says, "But Jeshurun, the Lord is your God. He is with you and he will help you. He made you. He formed you for himself as a special people. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you to perish and to be forsaken. He will help you. He will always help you." And you say, "How will he help us?" And he says in verse 3, "This is how I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, 'I am the Lord's,' and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel." "I will help you," he says, "by pouring out springs of water upon you. Upon you who are thirsty. You who are longing to know the grace and the presence and the comfort of the Lord. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and bless you." That is, I will preserve you there in Babylon. I will preserve your faith and the faith of your children so that you will be able to bear patiently under the burden of pain and sorrow and loss and persevere from day to day in the hope of the coming Messiah. I will help you. And that applies to us today too. That's the word of God to his people in all ages. He will help you in all your trials and troubles. He promises to help. And that's why the children of God can make it our confession. Psalm 46, verse 1. "The Lord is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in time of trouble. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. All of these confessions that God is our help come from the Psalms, which we sing so beautifully. Last Thursday, I spoke on this text to the young people at the high school. And I tried to make application to the unique struggles and trials that teenagers face in the world today, not knowing them, of course, on a personal basis at all. the common struggles that teenagers face, like peer pressure, to try to measure up to certain standards, to have to wear the right clothes, to have to hang out with the right people, to have to say the right things, to have the right amount of wit and attractiveness and so on. That's a struggle for young people. For some young people, there are academic struggles. They try so hard to do well in the different subjects they're studying, but they can't seem to attain to the standards that their teachers or their parents or even that they themselves set for themselves. That's a struggle. For some young people, there's the struggle of online bullying or even in-person bullying, but nowadays more and more it's the online sort that is so destructive to the mental health, the spiritual health of teenagers, as people from a distance can say nasty things about them. There's the loneliness that young people can experience when they don't know where they fit in, what social group they fit into, when certain friends go this way and certain friends go that way, and maybe they're in a dating relationship that doesn't work out. The Lord will help you, young people. He is the one who made you and formed you. He promises to help you, to carry you through all those struggles and trials. But we adults, we have our own unique struggles. We get married, and the Lord gives us children, and we have the struggles of raising children, and sometimes the Lord gives us a child that has a special physical problem, a health condition. Sometimes when our children grow up, they forsake the faith. They leave the church. They go out into the world. And that's a burden for us as parents. We adults have stress that's related to our job, the rising costs, the economy that we live in. Maybe there's not enough work. Maybe there's too much work. Maybe there's stress in our business. Sometimes there can be marital trouble, marital disharmony, whether it's on a regular basis, whether it's once in a while. There are the infirmities of old age, the weaknesses of the flesh and the body as we get older and older. There's the loss of a loved one, a friend, a brother, a parent. There's conflict in the church. There's controversy about the best way to handle things in the church. Brothers and sisters, the Lord who made us and formed us, He will help us. He will help us. He will pour out the water of His Spirit upon us. He will give us what we stand in need of so that we are able to persevere through things that we cannot control. There are things in this world that we can't control. We try so hard to control everything in our lives, to make everything go exactly the way we think it should go. But sometimes the Lord stops us in our tracks and shows us, you can't control this, but I will help you. I will be with you. I will give you the grace of the Holy Spirit so you can persevere, so you can endure through this difficult time. I will answer your prayers for wisdom and guidance and grace. I will make a way of escape from this temptation or that temptation. Sometimes the Lord even helps us by alleviating the pressures, by removing the trials. Some trials last a long time. Some trials are very short. But whether it is short or long, the Lord will help us. And what I said to the students last week, I say to you as well. The Lord forms us through the trials of life. God doesn't promise to any of us an easy, smooth, simple life. In fact, what He promises is that there will be hardship. There will be trials and tribulations, struggles, confusion. disruption. But he promises that through all these things, he is working, forming and fashioning us into the people he wants us to be. He has a plan for each one of us. We don't know the end yet. We don't know the end product. We're works in progress. There's an end product. And when that end product is finished, he'll take us home to glory. We're still in the manufacturing process where God is forming us. He's shaping and molding us through the fires of affliction. Just like the goldsmith takes that hunk of minerals in which there are all kinds of impurities, but he's an expert. He knows there's gold in there. And he puts it into the furnace of fire. And in the fire, the impurities are burned off so that at last he has this beautiful, shining gold. That's you. And that's me. He's burning and fashioning us through the fires of affliction so that we will shine more brightly. Do you believe that? God wants you to have a heart that knows him more deeply, that loves him more fully, that clings to him more tightly, that trusts him at all times. A heart that waits patiently for God and that submits to his will. In Isaiah 43, verse 21, God said about Israel, and he says about us, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Therefore, finally, the prophet says to Israel, "Fear not." In fact, if you scan these last chapters of the book of Isaiah 40 through 66, you'll hear that again and again and again. Don't be afraid. For example, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Chapter 41, verse 10. Chapter 41, verse 14, he says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Chapter 43, verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Chapter 43, verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." And in our text, "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Evidently, Israel was dealing with a lot of fear. Are you dealing with a lot of fear? Today, we call it by all different terms: anxiety, dread, worry, fear, uncertainty about the future, feeling unsettled and uncomfortable and concerned. That's all fear. God very tenderly and gently spoke to his people, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the great unknown of the future. With all of the potential things that could go wrong in your life that sometimes work their way into your mind and start to trouble you so that you start to dwell upon them and think about them and become afraid of them. Don't do that. Don't bring before your mind all the evil scenarios that could possibly take place. Don't bring before your mind all the possible ways you could fail in your life, in the pursuits of things that are important to you. Don't be afraid of sickness. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of suffering, loss, persecution, political developments. Don't be afraid of being single, alone, or a widow. Don't be afraid of what happens to the church. Fear not, O Jacob. Why? Because none of these things will ever happen? Because bad things will never happen to us? No, we don't preach a prosperity gospel. We don't preach that if you just put more faith in God, nothing bad will happen to you. Everything will be great. We don't preach that. We know that hard things might come. We know that things might become very, very painful. And yet God says, don't be afraid. Why? Because I, the Lord, made you and formed you to be my special people from the womb. Literally from the womb of your mother, and figuratively, I formed you as a church from the very beginning of your existence. I formed you. You are mine, God says. Therefore, don't be afraid. You are the people in this world who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are able to confess, I am the Lord's, and the Lord is my God, for Christ's sake. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything, because the Almighty God promises to help you. He promises to fashion you through all your trials and troubles. He promises to lead you step by step by step into his loving arms. So I close with the same verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible that I used with the young people, 1 John 4, verse 18. Why are we not to be afraid of anything? John tells us why. Because there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. If you're consumed by fear, and sometimes we are, then the reason is that your faith has grown weak. Because when we, by faith, remember and receive the love that God has for us in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and there will be no fear in our hearts. When we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the revelation of God's love, and we remember what he did on the cross for us, for me, then we won't be afraid of anything. All is well with my soul, because Jesus loves me. Therefore, I'm able to walk by faith. I'm able to live in hope of a brighter future, because I know that eternal life awaits me in the new kingdom, in the new world. Amen. Our gracious and merciful God, we give thanks that thou dost speak such words of comfort to us as we live our lives in all the upheavals of this present time. And there are so many, Lord. But Lord, we give thanks that thou dost take away our fears, that thou dost give us comfort, that thou dost calm our minds and steady our hearts. We ask thee, Lord, to be with us, to help us, to guide us, to show us the way that we must go, and give us the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to walk in that path. For without thee, we can do nothing. Go with us now in the week to come, and